Welcome to Christ Today. Today we have with us a guest. It is Dave Bryan, pastor of the Glad Tidings Church in Yuba City. And he is such an active man, and his church is active in the kingdom of Christ. And we just love to see Dave, Pastor Dave Bryan, thank you for being here on Christ Today.
You're welcome. It's an honor to be here.
Appreciate You're very kind. But we all have a part in the kingdom of God, and we all do something. And I am always impressed what you and your church do in the kingdom of Christ God. And so you are active in the local community, in the state, in the country, and in the world. I think it's amazing what you, I don't mean to say you, but the church does with missionaries. Yeah. I love that.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, that's the purpose of the church. We got to stay focused on that. We're supposed to take the message. By the way, we're supposed to make the message work where we are, because if it doesn't work at home, why export it? But we're supposed to take the message of the kingdom of God, and we're supposed to take that to the nations of the world. And so it's important to keep the main thing the main thing. Since we talked last, we also started a congregation in Grass Valley. I don't know if you had heard
I did
about
not
that.
Know that.
But all the churches in the foothills shut down over the coronavirus. Most of them haven't opened back up. So we had a group of about 50 people driving down the mountain an hour every Sunday morning. Some of them came on Saturday night because we have two services. But so I thought, well, it's better for one person to drive up the mountain than for 50 to drive down. So we started a service up there. So now our biggest service is Saturday night at Glad Tidings in Yuba City. And then we have Sunday morning at 10 o'clock, also in Yuba City. And now we have a Sunday night service, but that's the one in Grass Valley.
Okay.
And that is at the Banner Guild in Grass Valley, and meets at 5 o'clock every Sunday night. So my weekends are busier than ever.
Yes, well, that's what God does.
Yeah.
That's how he does it. He puts us into the race, let's call it.
Right.
And
and
we want to finish well.
Right, yeah. That's so important. So it's been a very busy season. And with all that's going on in the world, but in America, it's obviously in a season of extreme upheaval. And so, because there were so few churches open, the last year and a half, we were open and never did close down. And in fact, we actually went to services every night for a while when the COVID-19 was just breaking. And we even advertised, if you are not feeling well, we believe that Christ is not only our Savior, but he's also our healer. And you can come and we'll pray for you. We even did a drive-through prayer time for people that were afraid of contagion. My personal feeling is that the Spirit of Christ within us is meant to drive out all fear. So we can say, like David said, because God is with me, I fear no evil. But the church has a long way to go, frankly, in that area. So we thought, well, just because people are fearful, and just because we know that God has not given a spirit of fear, but of power and love and of sound thinking, those people are still in need, and so we'll just do a drive-through in our parking lot, and we'll just extend our hands toward the vehicle and pray for healing for the people that are coming through. So this present crisis has caused some really exciting opportunities to serve people and meet urgent needs. And that, of course, has been our ministry motto for 32 years, find a need and meet it, find a hurt and heal it. And so, of course, COVID-19 brought up a lot of needs and a lot of hurts. And so it's been our busiest season ever, and it's been very, very fruitful. Last year was a record year in a lot of ways, and we're just very, very busy. In a good way, you know, just busy about kingdom business. One of the unforeseen blessings of staying open when others were fearful and closed down is that virtually all of the kingdom business on the West Coast was looking for a place that they could meet, for one thing, and then a place of expression. And so we have met so many Christian leaders from all parts of the United States and even parts of the world that we otherwise would not have met. But it was interesting here, John, a while back after a Saturday night service, there was a young man and he had a clipboard and he said, "Could I talk to you? I'm a freelance reporter and I flew back from the East Coast to the West Coast, and I rented a car, and I'm going to as many places as I can to try to gather information for what's going on in people's hearts and minds during this pandemic." And he said, "As soon as I got to the West Coast, I heard about your church." And he said, "So that's what I'm doing here." But he said, "I'll be honest, when I got here, I was really surprised." And I said, "What were you surprised by?" He said, "Well, I expected it to be a huge mega church in a big city. And you're a relatively small church in the farmlands of Northern California. And I guess I was just surprised by that." And I said, "Yeah, it's somewhat of a phenomenon." He said, "Well, I'm writing a book on this COVID-19 impact on America. And how would you explain, or to what would you attribute the visit of very well-known people like Dinesh D'Souza, Candace Owens, David Martin, Judy Mikovits?" He'd done his homework. And he said, "And now General Michael Flynn." And my question is how do you talk them into coming to a place like this? And I said, "Well, I see you're taking notes." I said, "Write down this phrase, divine favor." And he wrote it down and he said, "So how would you explain that?" I said, "Well, I would explain that by using your description. We're a small church in the rice fields of Northern California, and a very impressive lineup of movers and shakers have come from all over America." And he said, "Yeah, but how did you get them to come?" I said, "Well, that's my point. Every one of them called me and asked if they could come." And he was in utter disbelief. And he said, "Were you, did you do some kind of advertisement?" They responded to him. I said, "Nope. All I did is picked up the phone and said, 'Yeah, we'd love to have you.'" And that is the fulfillment of a prophecy that came over our church years ago. And it was that God was going to open a door of influence, and we would have to push against it because there'd be a lot of opposition, but it would be, as the Bible refers to Paul having said, God has opened to me an effectual door of ministry. And those were the terms that were used in the prophecy, that God would open an effectual door of ministry, but there would be opposition on the other side of the door trying to keep it from opening, and we'd have to push into it, which we have done for, you know, for 32 years. So that's how long I've been there. But that door is swinging open, and God, just in this last year, and how sad to think that so many churches, they shut down completely, and many of them never to be open again. They did it through fear, and they did it outside the counsel of God's word, which specifically tells us to obey God rather than man, and to not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. You know, John, just on the way here, I passed a church, I won't mention it, and it had a big sign that said, "Now open online." And, you know, I said to myself, that's a creative way to say still closed.
Yeah. Huh?
You can't go there and have a Christian meeting.
Right.
You know, the basic configuration of the kingdom of God is people, even in small groups, two or three, but gathering together in Christ's name. And he says they're all be in the midst. And so anyway, I think that scenario that we're living out, and by the way, it's not getting better. It may seem like it, but now they're working and flexing their muscles on the Delta variant. And if you've studied this out, you know that the description of that variant is that it's 0.03% different, which you can find that at all times in viruses of all kinds, all the COVID viruses, that there's minute variations of it. But the point is that people who have developed natural immunity to a SARS virus 20 years ago, that their body would recognize something that was up to 25% different, but it would recognize that's still a coronavirus, and I got this. So there's been a worldwide perpetration of deception and fear-mongering, and I was a little hesitant to come to this conclusion earlier, but I believe that we're into the days of deception prophesied in Scripture at the end of time. And the world has never been deceived on such a massive scale as it is right now. Mm-hmm. And so, of course, the thing about deception is there is a supernatural power to it. Because if you bought a car and then they said, you know, you're going to have to make big payments for adaptations to your vehicle for the rest of your life, get used to it, you just say, that is ridiculous. I want my money back, right? But that's what they've done with the vaccines. They've said there as many different variants as there are, you'll have to have updates to the vaccines. Well, now, of course, the former president of Pfizer has come out against the vaccine, said they're very dangerous. Nobody should be taking them. This is a smoke and mirrors operation, and it's an evil thing that's going on. His words, not mine. And again, he's not a local pastor. He is the former president of a virologist and an expert in vaccines, right? Mm-hmm. And so, and then, of course, Dr. David Martin has come out and exposed this whole thing as a fraud. And a lot of people aren't following it because never in our day has there been such a massive suppression of information as there is right now. So our church is not allowed to post on Vimeo or YouTube. I've been kicked off Facebook and Twitter and then reinstated, but just day before yesterday I got another notice that that they were going to shut my account down permanently if I posted anything that didn't go along with the public narrative. That is so un-American. There has never been a time in American history where the populace didn't welcome another perspective, whether they agreed or not. We celebrated free speech many, many times as you and I were growing up. We would hear people say, mm-hmm. Well, I disagree, but that's the beauty of, you know, the American Republic, is we have freedom of speech and you have every right to that opinion, though I don't share that opinion. Now, Facebook and Twitter, and this is coming out now, but Facebook sprang up overnight when the CIA was forced to do away with what they were trying to do to control the narrative. And, of course, it was transferred to, as he's now being called, Zuckerberg. But the point is, I hope that Christians can wake up to the fact that these are the days of deception, and we are being manipulated by a big brother government that is not subtly, but now they're being very bold about their aim to take from us our, what we would call, inalienable rights given to us by our Creator.
Yes.
And that was made very, very plain in a book written at the very beginning of this pandemic. It was written by Klaus Schwab.
Oh, yes.
And it was called The Great Reset.
Yeah.
And he said at the very beginning, he said, this pandemic, well, yes, it will take away your individual rights. We have to be willing to embrace that. Well, this is all being used to try to undermine the very foundations of liberty. Because if it falls in America, it falls in the world. Everybody recognizes that, both on both sides of the line, the black hats, the white hats, everybody recognizes that this wonderful thing of individual liberty, that of course is born of biblical Christianity, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. We've been set free into the glorious freedom of the sons of God. But everybody recognizes that if that can be undermined in America, it can be done away with worldwide, and the world can be taken into the darkness of a controlling elite that feel like they have the prerogative to manipulate everything, and by that I mean religion, education, entertainment, politics, the military, business. They feel like they have a right to manipulate everything as they see fit. And though those are my words, that is the synopsis of Klaus Schwab's book called The Great Reset. Now the whole world is talking about The Great Reset. He wrote the book, as the old saying goes, and said, this is inevitable. This pandemic has forced it. Now we have some of the leading doctors in the world saying the entire pandemic was fraudulent. It was the manipulation of a very, very common virus, the COVID-19, And of course, David Martin, his company has for years overseen the filing of international patents. And so there is no international patents that he hasn't looked at. That's what his company does. It's called ImCam. And he's a friend of mine, thank God. Met him, some would say serendipitously. I'd say that God connects people. But met him through this COVID crisis. He has boldly come out on an international platform and said, there is nothing novel about the coronavirus. There are many, many coronaviruses. They've been studied for years because they can be easily manipulated. And a patent for what is now being called a novel coronavirus, he said it's not novel at all. I tried to warn the entire world in 2002. No one would listen because their lives were happy and you know, bread and circus. If they have something to eat, something to entertain themselves, they don't really care about anything else. That's what the Romans figured out and used it to control the people. And all of the the games that centered around beasts and lions fighting people in the Colosseum, all that, they got more and more spectacular to keep the attention of the Roman populace, so that the Caesars, because of course our idea of Senate came from Rome, the Romans had a Senate, but they understood that if the people were wowed by the games in the Colosseum and the gladiators and all that, and they called that the circus, by the way, that's where we get our concept of circus, but if they had the circus and if they were fed, they wouldn't care about anything that the Caesars or the Senate was doing. So in a very real sense,
that's great.
We have become a bread and circus society.
Oh yeah.
And yet our forebears said that the cost of true liberty was constant vigilance, unending vigilance. We haven't done that well. And so we've seen at all of these things, education, politics, religion also, economics, the military, we've seen everything, to use a common term, fall to hell in a handbasket in our lifetime. Because we were so busy eating fried chicken and watching the NFL, right?
Yes.
Or whatever it was.
Yes.
Whatever circus was your pastime, which is amazing because we call that amusement, right? And the English word amusement is a compound based off the root word muse, which means to think. And amusement means something that causes you not to think. That's what the word means. And so, of course, television, if you follow the history of the rise and fall of the Third Reich, Hitler, he called it a black box, but he said if we can get the black box in every household, we can control the thinking of the entire world. And so, anyway, our society, which was founded on the principles of Christianity, has been eroded and undermined and has come to fulfill the prophecy that Jesus gave, because Jesus gave parables, which is a earthly story with a heavenly meaning, or a natural story with a supernatural meaning, spiritual meaning. But in Matthew 13, he was prophesying, because he plainly says, this story that I'm giving you is about the end of the age. That takes it into a specific divine context, right? Now, of course, we can learn from it from any age, but Jesus said, this story is about the end of the age. And I think we're living in the specific fulfillment of Matthew 13. That's the parable of the field. Let me just say this, because America was conceived and born as a city set on a hill to take the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ to the nations of the world. And, of course, part of that is freedom of religion. The argument is that, oh, there were a lot of religions that came here in the early days. Of course, because true Christianity has never coerced anyone to serve. Yeah. It's a free offer. Behold, I stand at the door and knock, right? Other religions say, you know, strap up your boots because I'm going to kick in the door and come in. Not Jesus. I stand at the door and knock. If you hear my voice and want me to come fellowship with you, I will. And so, yeah, of course, and it is true that Muslims, Buddhists, Jews, and witches gravitated to America because of freedom of religion. But the true church has never been intimidated by the occult, right? We have the spirit of the Almighty. And so I know a lot of witches and warlocks. I know witches that have tried to curse Cheryl and I for 20-some years. Mm. And I love them because they're people for whom Christ died. They're confused. Yeah. But we're never called by Christ to act meanly toward the unsaved. There, my view of the world is there's two kind of Christians. There's two kind of people. There are Christians and pre-Christians, because God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And so we need to keep that in mind. And you know, we are a very active church. Because of that, we get criticized a great deal. And we get criticized for a lot of things. But one of them is that we're not a safe place. We let felons come there. And we let witches come there.
Yeah.
And so my response to that is, I don't see any teaching in the entire Bible for us to try to build a safe place. Instead, God says, you are safe in me. So just do what you need to do, and I'll take care of the details, which he always does. One witch came with two others here a while back. We recognized her. She's not incognito. You know, she wears a big silver cross, and her car says, I love witchcraft, you know, on a bumper sticker. And she has pentagram earrings. And, you know, she wants you to know I am a witch. So anyway, she came. The usher said, what shall we do with her? And I said, well, I want to talk to her. So I just asked her. I said, why are you here? What's it matter? I said, well, it matters a lot. I'm the pastor. I'm the gatekeeper. I want to know why you're here. Well, I'm just here to see what's going on. And she said, to be honest, I'm here to try to figure out why you're not dead. We've been cursing you for 20 years. And I said, well, at some point, maybe you'll sort this out. But not only are we not dead, we're not even feeling sickly. So I said, you know, I don't know what all you've been trying to do, but it has been an epic fail. And that's because greater is Christ within us than the evil spirits that you conjure. And she said, I knew you'd say that. And I said, okay, so you've been trying this for 20 years, and you still can't figure out that your curses have no power on us, just like the Word of God says, the curse without a cause cannot come to bear. And anyway, so she said, are you going to kick me out? And I said, no, because I would love to see you meet Christ, and that's what you were created for. And she said, I was created to be a witch. I said, no, you weren't. But anyway, I agree to disagree for now. Mm-hmm. But I wish every witch in California would come to the Church of Glad Tidings and find Jesus.
Yes.
Now, if they come and are resistant, and are trying to do us evil, we will find out and ask you to leave, which is true of anything. It's like, you know, the people in Antifa or Black Lives Matter or any other group, the people that are militant homosexuals.
Mm-hmm.
Of course they can come to the church if they're honest and searching. What they can't come to do is come to the church with their signs, you know, free love or, you know, all the kind of things that they would promote. So often, I'll just tell the ushers, keep your eye on them if they start mumbling. You know, the Bible has a verse that talks about the wizards that peep and mutter. And I said, so we use that phrase. If you see her start to peep and mutter, just go up and say, hey, not here. Can't do that here. And that happens some. But our church, you know, we've been doing Isaiah 61 seminars on spiritual warfare and deliverance for 25 years. So almost everybody in our church, unless they're a relative newcomer, have had experience casting out demons. And so it's no big deal for the ushers to keep their eye on somebody and be able to tell if they begin to conjure or go demonic or something.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, my point in all that is that, to me, is a badge of honor, if I can say it that way, that we will take all comers and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ to anybody who will listen. We also will drive off troublemakers, because that's part of what a shepherd has to do. Watch out for wolves and bears and predators, right? But we'll give anybody a chance. And so we get a lot of people that come in, and we get a chance to love them. And I've had some amazing experiences with people. We took in a young man, and I didn't know who he was. He was just somebody out of the jail that needed help, and that's what we do, is help people. And he told me, my dad wants to talk to you. I said, okay, well, just have him come in. He said, well, don't be intimidated. And I said, that sounds like a warning of some kind. He said, well, you know, he's been the leader of the Hell's Angels out of the San Francisco chapter for over 20 years. So a lot of people are intimidated. I said, oh, well, that's fear is not something that I struggle with. So have him come in. He's a big old guy, come in with a club, you know, and had a 45 scar going from right through his head, you know. And I saw it on his cheek, and I said, that looks like a entry and exit wound. And he said, yep. He said, point blank, they tried to blow my head off, and I just lost four teeth. Two on that side, two on that. Didn't hit his tongue or anything. Just went right through. But my point is, a lot of people would see a guy like that and think, oh, my goodness, you know, somebody call security, or, you know, this guy comes, you know, he comes in looking rough. But he actually was a very, in a certain sense, he was like a velvet-covered brick. There was a hardness to him, but there was a tenderness to him. He was there because he loved his son. And he said, I don't know if you'll need to edit this out, but I'll just tell you what he said. He said, he come up, he's looking down at me. He's, you know, at least a foot taller than I was. And had big old boots on. He's looking down. He said, I want to get one thing straight right off the bat. And I said, okay, what's that? He says, I think all religion is a crock of shit. And I'm looking at him. I said, well, at least we agree on that. Is there anything else? And he did not know what to say. He said, I'm confused. I thought you were the pastor. I said, I am. And he's just staring at me like, I don't understand this. And I said, you realize that Jesus didn't come to form a religion. And it was the religious leaders of the day who crucified him. Jesus came to to do for us what we couldn't do for ourselves, and to explain that because of what he did, we can reconcile our relationship with God. And that man, his heart melted, and he said, that is awesome. I have never heard that. And I said, well, that's the gospel. I'm sorry that you've never heard that. And you probably won't hear it in a religious operation. But that is the gospel. And so he's still a friend of mine. He texts me every once in a while. Hope you and the wife are doing fine, you know. But my point in bringing that story up is I think there are hundreds of thousands of people that we know God loves them desperately. They're made in his image and likeness, and they're made to carry his glory. They just don't know that yet. And the greatest hindrance to them ever knowing that is organized religion that almost always drives them away, almost always puts them down, won't recognize, like, if you do something wrong, you must be doing everything wrong, right? If you're a gang leader, you must hate God, have a terrible marriage. He's married to a woman that he's been married to for 20 years and loves and is faithful to. Human history is filled with if-then prophecies. Going back to the first sin, God told Cain, if you continue to have evil in your heart, sin crouches like a hungry predator at the door of your cave waiting to pounce on you.
Yes.
But that was an if-then thing. He could have repented. That's a right that God gives every man. So sometimes people get very passive. They think, oh, God's going to do what God is going to do. But that is a perversion of biblical principle and history. Mm-hmm. The Assyrians, one of the most bloodthirsty, perverted nations in world history, were given 100-year reprieve because they repented. 100 years from the time of Jonah till the destruction of Assyria. Why? Because they repented.
Yes.
So those kind of things, national destiny, that's still up for grabs. And I've got grandchildren. I want my grandchildren to not live under a harsh Antichrist regime. I would like to have them live in a society that I've gotten to enjoy for, you know, my entire lifetime, where we can worship the Lord openly, where we can worship together, whether it's out in a public forum somewhere or in our churches. I would love for them to be able to enjoy the wonderful freedoms that we've had. They're societal freedoms. I know that who the sun sets free is free indeed. And it's this simple. We do a lot of prison ministries. I know people that are freer in prison for life than they ever were outside. And praise God for that. That's a wonderful truth. However, an even better solution is to be free on the inside and the outside. In other words, who wants to see everybody go to prison for life just so they can be devoted to Christ, right? So it's way better if we're able to enjoy freedoms both naturally and spiritually. And so that's what's at stake in America. Not the purposes of God. It's not the eternal kingdom. What's at stake is the national destiny of the United States of America. And so that's important too. Is it as important as the eternal kingdom? Obviously not. But is it important? Yeah. In the same way, it would have been important if you were a believer in Jehovah living in Assyria when Jonah came. You'd be praying like, oh, Jesus, I hope the king repents here, because if not, it's going to be terrible. And that again, it doesn't tarnish your faith or take away from the big picture of what God's doing, but it is a real factor, and it's a stewardship. We will be responsible for the things that we squander. God's word makes that plain. It's the good steward and the poor steward. And the church in America has been a very, very poor steward of our freedoms. Mm-hmm. And so God's giving us a chance to repent, return to Him, strengthen the things that remain, return to our first love, and be better stewards over liberty. Because it is a very precious thing. So those are some of my thoughts, John.
Wonderful. And it is the future that we are always interested in. And we are at a point right now in our society where we have to look to the future, have a hope, have God in our future through Jesus Christ with the Holy Spirit.
Right, right.
And that's one of the things that I like about your what you and your church are doing is looking to the future with something that is of Christ and to maintain the freedom that our history, our heritage, has given to us if we embrace it and carry it forward.
Yeah.
That's one of the things I like so much about the things that you and your church do.
Well,
and
thank you, John.
And thank you for all the things that you do with ministry and missionaries, things in this country and out of the country.
Yeah, that's exciting.
It's exciting.
Yeah. We're doing something new along those lines. We've always been a missionary church, and we are involved in missions all over the world. But in January, we're starting a Youth with a Mission base out of our property. And Youth with a Mission is a large missionary ministry that's all over the world. I've taught with Youth with a Mission for 25 years. And just a lot of things have converged, but we're starting a base there, and we'll be doing some special discipleship training and evangelism, missions training. And so we're excited about that.
Oh, yes, that's exciting.
Train more people, send them out.
That's what we do.
Yeah.
And now here we are. I want to have you invite people to your church, definitely. So please do that Anything you'd like to
say? Sure. Well, you're always welcome. Our church is in Yuba City. It's actually right on the border of North Yuba City and Live Oak. And it's called Church of Glad Tidings. We meet every Saturday night at 7 o'clock. We meet every Sunday morning at 10 o'clock. And then we have prayer forums. And you're welcome to any of them. Mm-hmm. I honestly think the most important times are the prayer times. But you're certainly welcome to come to the meetings as well.
Something happened to the recording. I will talk for a few minutes about the discussion that we had this morning. Again, this is with Dave Bryan, pastor of the Glad Tidings Church in Yuba City, which is full of people who love Jesus. And that is what I experience when I visit there. Very nice church. Well, Pastor, this morning, he and I talked about welcoming people to that church. And even people who have questions about if there is a God or if Jesus is real. Or even people who proclaim a different religious belief system, as long as they are genuinely searching for truth. You could say the truth of Jesus Christ and God. Well, one of the things that we talked about before the broadcast was he ran into a witch who was ready to confront him. And just pretty much did not want anything to do with him. But they end up talking for a little while. And she was complaining or saying to him that she had been praying against him for a dozen years. And she had even put curses on him and everything. But nothing seemed to be working against him. And Pastor Dave Bryan used that confrontation to invite her to know Jesus, who is the most powerful force anywhere. He invited her to church to learn about Jesus. And then he said to me, after all, Jesus invited tax collectors and sinners to listen and learn about God and Jesus. And Jesus said that when he acknowledged, the people acknowledged sin, then it would be forgiven, but then they were to sin no more. And then people had such a joy because their sin had been forgiven, this is in the days of Jesus, that they wanted to serve God Jesus and to live a life pleasing and acceptable to our Lord and Savior. That's the same thing that happens today. And that's one of the things that we can acknowledge among each other and with the testimony that we have when we have a private time or a time of corporate worship. And that Church of Glad Tidings involves itself with many caring and compassionate people and projects in the local community, yes, but also in the state and the country, and even missionary projects in other parts of the world. They have quite an outreach. And I think that us as a loving neighbor, we would want to do that. And of course, I think of Matthew 12, 22, 39, and it tells us what to do to be loving and how that church is also involved in a spiritual battle, because we are involved in spiritual warfare. And this is a spiritual battle going on everywhere in our church, in our nation, just everywhere. And you can see that we have God-given rights in our nation, and they were established by our founding documents, our Constitution and our Bill of Rights. And one thing at that church was about a month ago, they hosted General Michael Flynn, and after that hosted Dinesh D'Souza. See, there are events that go on at that church that make it just nice to see and nice to be a part of. So, and in the future, there are going to be events there as well. There is one that is on schedule now. It is the Free and the Brave and Freedom Coalition. So you can certainly check their website and see if you want to be there for that or be a part of it. See, by these things that we can tell that we want to preserve our God-given freedoms given to us by the Constitution and the Bill of Rights and our founding fathers and their principles and what they understood to be the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's pretty clear. It's not hard to look into and study. And we can all do that. It does take just a little bit of effort, but then you know it and you're comfortable with it. And you want to believe the founding documents more than you want to believe the modern historians who adjust and change history. Well, if you are in the neighborhood of Glad Tidings Church, then please go visit them. They are off of Highway 99, pretty much towards Yuba City, on the Eager Road exit that is going north. And on south, it's a little bit different, but that's where they are located. It's kind of between Yuba City and Live Oak. And their Sunday service is 10 a.m., It's very nice there, and certainly If you're looking for a church, it's worth looking into Glad Tidings. I think of things that are going on today. I think about the numbering systems that are going on, and I think that we have to recognize the world we are in, and we are in a system that is numbering every one of us. And it's just going on that we are numbered in this system. Yes, you might call it the beast system, and whatever system we want to be numbered in is the system of God, Jesus Christ. And we want to have our eternal home being in a heavenly place with our Savior, Jesus Christ. And that is what we want to do in the system that is numbering us. Numbers for everything. Our property has a number. Our insurance has a number. Every airplane and every automobile has a number. Every copy machine, every cell phone, every pharmaceutical prescription, every dollar bill, all of these things have a serial number. And we are being numbered as well. And we just want to make sure that our place and our eternal home is in that heavenly place with Christ Jesus, our Savior. And that is what we want to make sure of. And so we develop that relationship with God, Jesus. We learn how to listen to Him, and that is just plain what we do. We want to belong to Jesus and have our eternal security, our eternal hope and future be secure in Jesus Christ. I am so glad for you to listen to any of these Christ Today broadcasts. And remember, you can listen to any past broadcast by going to www.christtoday.org. And that is all lowercase and no spaces. Now, as you go about your day-to-day life, remember that that is a mission field. It is right in front of you. Your friends, your family, and just the people you run into, they are all your mission field. And of course, every one of us must use our brains and our intellect so that we are able to speak properly, accordingly. Yes, according to the gospel, but also according to the situation. And sometimes our speaking will be as gentle as a dove, and sometimes it will be as cautious as a fox, and occasionally it will be as rough and tumble as a raging bull. But we want to remember to be appropriate to the situation. And that's something we can always do with prayer to God Jesus. And to do that before and during and after we speak with people about Jesus Christ and the hope that is in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I hope you can look and see and find opportunities. They are all over the place for you to speak the gospel and to talk about Jesus, to talk about your experience. And in a sense, isn't that just what the apostles did? They went into the world and they spoke about Jesus and their experience. And that is something that every one of us can do. We all have a testimony. We all have an experience. And that is a part of what we do. I want to remind you that Pastor Dave Bryan also has a lot of experience with, the spiritual battle that goes on, with the things that are going on in the world. And occasionally he tells a little story about something. You can sometimes hear it when you go to his church services. And those are at 10 a.m. on Sunday, and just check them out if you're in the neighborhood. It really is very nice. But I want to thank you for listening today, and I want to remind everyone that we want to walk with God, and we want God to walk with us. And a part of that is prayer and learning to listen to the gospel message of Jesus Christ so that we can speak it to other people. Well, I'm so glad that you have been listening today. Thank you very much for listening to Christ Today. And may God bless you in the coming days. And remember to reinforce your relationship with Christ Jesus. Learn how to listen. Learn how to pray more. And ask for God's protection as you go through life. Jesus is our protection, and we certainly want to give him thanks and praise and worship, because that is what we do as belonging to him, belonging to Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord Jesus, and may every listener be blessed. And thank you again for listening and, of course, your relation with God, Jesus. Amen.